Different ones of us probably miss Brother Lauren and Sister Maxine for different reasons. I wish Sister Maxine was here this morning. I have something I'd like for us to take a look at this morning for a little while. I want to talk to you about Thanksgiving Day. When we have those two words put together, probably in every one of our minds it goes to a week or so ago when family gets together. There's a lot of food passed around and then that day is gone. The turkey's eaten, the pies are gone. But does Thanksgiving end then? Think about with Lorinda this morning talking about something that the Lord did to help them out. You know, if we will let it, we need to have every day to be a Thanksgiving day. The only difference would be the amount of food that's prepared. But that tomorrow, the next day after that third Thursday in November, that we would have something to be thankful for. Now, I am glad that our country still allows there to be a day set aside. You know, that's something that we don't think too much about. But there's been a lot of things that have been shut off that causes you to think about God. But we are still allowed to have this day to be thankful. And I want to be thankful. You know, the Lord allows things to come into our life to give me an opportunity to come back to Him with thanksgiving. And it can be in little areas. And if we're not careful, we will be looking for something big. And we'll pass up those little opportunities, little things that God does for us to give us a chance to tell Him thanks. As you get older, you'll get more of those opportunities because you'll have more things happen in your life that you need Him. I had something happen you could say it was a small thing, but it was fitting to be big for me a couple weeks ago. Had a key for my expedition that I'd taken off the ring and was just carrying it around single. Shouldn't have ever done that to start with, but I had another one. You know, when you have two keys somewhere, you can afford to be a little more careless, I thought. Well, one day I lost that key. So that's no big deal. I was just going to go get the other key on Cheryl's ring. But went to it, and it was gone from that one too. Now, you know, in our time today, with cars the way they are, you're in trouble without a key. Because they don't just make you a key. Now that little key has a computer chip in it that you could go get a regular key made, and it'll unlock your door, but it won't start your car. Because there's a chip in the end of that key that if it's not inserted in there, won't start it up. Well, I knew I was in trouble, and so I started looking. And it's always bad to lose something right before bedtime because you can spend the night waking up thinking about it, wondering where it is and what did I do with it, because I knew I was the one that lost it. And through the night with no key and I'm needing that vehicle, you know, it's easy then to start going to the Lord and saying, you know, if I knew where it was and I just need to go get it in the morning, you may not even ask the Lord about it. But now it's gone and I'm the one that lost it and it could be anywhere. And so I started trying to think back where it could be. And I remembered that I had taken a part off the tractor and was leaning over getting it. And I thought, well, I may have dropped that out of my pocket at that time. So in the morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go out. And there's a bunch of leaves that had fallen there. I'm going to just move them one at a time just to get that key, find that key. Well, the next morning, I asked the Lord before I went out. I said, I'd sure appreciate it if you'd help me find that key. Well, I walked into my shop and you won't be able to appreciate this unless you've seen my shop. I walked into it, and there on the table saw, my eyes went straight to that key. I had left it there the day before. Now, in my shop, I have gone in there at times and tried to find a shovel and couldn't find it. It needs some maintenance, cleanup on it. So to find a key was, to me, it was a miracle, anything that small. So I was very thankful for it. We have times that if we're not careful, the devil would even own that. Just have you say, I remember leaving that here yesterday, and walk off, put the key in my pocket, and never think about it. You may remember Sister Margaret Eck a few years ago wrote a little booklet, kind of intended for her children, her grandchildren. It said, Lest We Forget. And she started putting in there little instances that had happened through their life where God had answered prayer for them. And she wanted to put it together in a booklet so that we don't just go away and forget, but instead that we look at the next time I have a problem and I need God to answer prayer for me, that I can remember back to the times that He's done it before and be thankful for those times. There's something about human nature, maybe all of us are this way, that when we do something for somebody, there is just something in us that appreciates hearing the words thank you. I remember when I was a child, and maybe all of us as children, our parents worked on us, especially Mom, that when somebody hands you something, you say thank you for it. Don't just accept it. Don't just take it and walk off and not say thank you. And I know that at times, sometimes maybe somebody's handing out some candy to a little child and they take it. And the mother's trying to get this lesson across, so she says, hey, tell them thank you for that. Well, they've got the candy now. They don't need to say thank you. And you know, sometimes the mother take it back. Okay, well, let's just give it back now because you're not going to say thanks. Trying to stress with that little child, when you receive something, go back with thanksgiving. Tell them thanks for that. Well, you know, there can be times that we do something for somebody with kind of that little expectation. And it's not the reason we do it, but it's always good to hear thank you for it. Maybe we do something and that thanks doesn't come. You ever get a letdown feeling when you have maybe done something real special, thought it was special anyhow, and they just received it, didn't say anything about it, just took it? Well, about that time, as I was thinking about this, the Lord started speaking. You remember life lessons? Times that things that happen in our life, and they can have a spiritual application. It seemed like the Lord started dealing with me and saying, Dan, there are people that will go all through their life, I'm doing things for them, and they never return with thanksgiving. In fact, there are people out here today that I do many things for, and they don't even acknowledge that I exist. They don't even believe in a God, and yet every day I do something for them. You remember over in Acts in the 17th chapter, where Paul went to Athens, and he took a look at the inscription there to the unknown God, and he said, I'd like to explain to them a little something about who God really is. In the 25th verse, well, 24th, he says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. He's doing that for each of us this morning. When I got up, had the ability to get up, it wasn't really that I have been taking such good care of my body that I'm able to get up. There are people that are athletes. You hear about them, read about them in the news. Somebody that is physically fit and maybe at a practice session, they fall over dead. God gives us life and breath. And on down it says, and I don't see it now, but where he's saying he gives us all things, and we need to be real careful to come back and tell him thanks for that.
The end of the 25th verse.
25th? Okay. Yeah, I was thinking there was another verse that kind of repeated that again, but I didn't see it. But he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. And I can be sensitive when somebody doesn't return to me with thanks. But then I start thinking, how many times does God do something for me and I just take it? This morning, as Brother Steve was praying and talking about just the things that we have the ability to do, when I go to the gas pump and can pump $50 worth of gas in there, it was God that gave me the ability to go work and have the money for it. To be able to get up in the morning, I have so much to be thankful for. And if I'm not careful, I can do the same thing. Get up in the morning and fail to give thanks. We were down in Shawnee maybe a week or so ago, and it was mentioned then, just a little phrase was given that has really made me do some thinking. It's Sister Carol Jantz gave us this statement. She said, what if the blessings that God gives me today, the things that he allows me to have, are those blessings that I thanked him for yesterday? I received today the things that I thanked him for yesterday. Would I be alive? Did I thank him for breath yesterday? Did I thank him for the ability to get up? for a sun rising. If it didn't come up today because I didn't thank him yesterday, what would I have? It was just kind of a reminder to me to be more thankful for things that I don't consider them big, but you know what? If the sun doesn't come up, it's going to be a big thing. So there are a lot of things for us to be thankful for. There is something that I've wondered. When I have this feeling of appreciation when someone comes back to me and says thanks, I'd like to look at a verse about the nature of God. Genesis 1 and 26, where it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness." It just made me wonder, is it possible that God has that same kind of feeling that I have when somebody returns to me with thanksgiving? Is it possible that he has that same, that's part of his nature? When he made us, he put inside us part of the nature he has that appreciates when somebody comes back. When he created the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve, I kind of wonder, I kind of think that he wanted that. He desired that appreciation to come back. I want to tell you thanks for this thing being so great. It kind of does something today. If I desire thanks for things that I do, appreciating thanks for things that I do, when he does something for us every day, and he would desire that we would return. I think about in just our daily routine of living, I can be at work and get all involved in the things that I do there, maybe leave there kind of stressed a little bit, and come home and Cheryl has fixed a meal and maybe made some homemade bread and spent some time making something special. You know what? I can sit down and just mechanically start eating, just dishing it away and never say a word. And, you know, I wonder then, is it possible that she could say, you know, I spent hours putting that together. I could have made a sandwich and got the same kind of results from it. For us to return with thanksgiving, there are places where I'd like for us to look in Psalms 92 and 1, where the longing is out there for us to give thanks. Psalms 92, first verse. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." It's a good thing to give thanks. One thing that giving thanks does is it reminds me of who gave it. When I give thanks, I don't go around thinking, you know what, I was the one that produced this. It's a blessing that came from God. There's another one in 1 Chronicles, 16th chapter, and in the 8th verse. "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." That's what we do in the morning time here when we have prayer requests. And at the beginning we ask, and you know what, it can become so routine. Does anyone have thanksgiving that you would like to make known? It's a time for us to make known his deeds among the people. Wednesday night at prayer meeting is an opportunity for us to come together and reflect over the past week the things that the Lord has done for us. We don't want to take them for granted because he sends to us opportunities for us to have something to be thankful for. I'd like to go over in Psalms. It gives us a little picture of how he arranges things so that I'll have something to be thankful for. I'd like to take a look at this. In 107 and 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." And now it starts talking about a group of people. "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters." Here we're talking about sailors now and an opportunity that they're going to get to come back and give thanks. "These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven." Can you picture all this in your mind? Here's a big storm now, and this sailor that was just so comfortable a little bit before, now he's riding the waves. He commandeth, raises the stormy winds, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. And then they do something. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And then again it tells us, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works and to the children of men. And each of us have an opportunity. Maybe we haven't been out in a ship and had that kind of trouble and begging the Lord to help us. Jonah did. You remember the time when Jonah ran from the Lord and he was thrown out of the ship into the water, swallowed by the fish, and he started praying. And you remember when he was released from that? He said, I've got some thanksgiving. I'm going to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving back to the Lord. The Lord will send things our way that if we will let it, it'll produce thanksgiving back to him. I'm thinking of how our Thanksgiving Day came about. Back when those people came over here and had very little to start with, the pilgrims coming over, you know, if it had just produced so great for their first year and they'd had no problems, it'd been real easy not to stop and thank the Lord. But there were people that had died. They liked to starve. They had to be helped out a little bit. And then when the earth produces for them, they got a lot of thanksgiving to come back to the Lord with. And they did that. Time to tell him. Now we have, and on a regular basis, ever since I've been a child, Mom and Dad taught me from the very beginning, as soon as I could talk, we're going to pray before we eat. Now, you know, that can become so routine that I just do it just because that's what you do before you eat. What's the purpose of us doing that? It's for me to acknowledge to God, you supplied it for me. I really didn't do this on my own. It's time for me to stop. And the reason we do it three times a day when we eat is because as a human, I need to be reminded real often, it was he that hath made us. He's the one that has allowed me to have it. And even whenever I get on up to an adulthood, I don't want to stop that. Or I don't want to even continue it and it becomes so routine that I almost forgot what I even said. It's time to eat now. But that I would be thankful, really thankful from the heart to God for what he has allowed us to have. There was a place where Jesus gave us an example of that in Matthew in the 15th chapter. And in the 34th verse, when he's saying, hey, the folks around here are hungry. Let's give them something to eat. Don't want to send them away lest they faint in the way. And the 33rd verse says, his disciples saying to him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have you? They said, seven and a few little fishes. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. He took the seven loaves, the fishes, and he gave thanks. You know, sometimes we can feel like what I've got is so little, it's hardly worth bothering with. He didn't do that with this one. He gave them an example. The things that I do have, let me give thanks for those things throughout our life that we would be thankful, because we're living in a world now where we're starting to move into, and we've been there for quite a while, where Romans 1 talks about one of the things that's going to be happening are people are going to be unthankful, not appreciating the benefits that we have. And in these last few months in America, I've been seeing this more and more in this Occupy New York City, Occupy Los Angeles. Let's start a little revolt because we want things to change. You know what? We've got a whole lot to be thankful for in America. It's true that on April 15th, seems like too much is taken out of my check and handed over to the government. There are things that I hear on the news that they're doing with the money that we are all sending in. And I say, I don't want to contribute to that, but it's a requirement. But you know what? There is a reason that we're having to try to stop people from coming up from Mexico. Because with what we have, it's still the best the world has to offer economically, financially. You don't see these people. I work over there right by where they were staying in tents, just a block away from our building, sleeping in tents and putting up signs, "We need to divide the wealth. Take it from them and give it to us." You don't see any of those folks say, "Okay, we're going to band together. We're going to give up our citizenship and we're moving to Mexico. We'll just go down there and start us a new life." You know what? Everyone knows, if they'll stop for a little bit, we got a lot to be thankful for here. After I've paid all my taxes, taken out everything that they want to take, I still can live better than anybody in the world. We have a lot to be thankful for. And I need to be real careful, because what can start happening is my focus starts getting on what I don't have, what I had to give up, and I can then not be thankful for what God still allows me to have. In Genesis, it also says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." It doesn't say anything about, okay, when if I get tired of working, like the Occupy folks, I'm going to just quit working and start complaining. There is a place, there is something for me to do. I need to work hard to provide for my family. But you know what? When he allows bread to come in, I need to stop and say thank you for that, because I wasn't able to get it. Because there is something about human nature that he wants us to guard against. I need to guard against it. And that verse is given to us in Psalms 100. Because you would think this would never be a problem. It says, second verse, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." That little piece I'd like for us to always remember. God is the one that has given me anything that I have. The strength that I have to get up tomorrow and go to work, it's because he gave it to me. It is he that hath made us. And you know, we can start to, and I've enjoyed reading them in the past, people that started out with nothing and they were able to, Sam Walton, you know, started out with nothing and was able to build an empire. I like those stories, but in that, we don't want to forget God is the one that gave him the strength. God gave him the ability. And none of us will have anything if God didn't allow us to have it. You ever had a day where you felt great in the morning, and in an hour's time, you can catch a bug, you can catch some flu bug or something, and your strength saps out, you can almost feel it leaving you, and there's not a thing you can do about it. That's how much we're dependent upon the Lord, that when he gives me strength, that I come back to him with thanksgiving. They were warned about that in Deuteronomy, when the children of Israel were going to be able to be brought into the land of Canaan. He said, "I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build. I'm going to give you gardens that you didn't plant. But I want you to be real careful, because the tendency of man is, when I've gotten that, that my heart gets lifted up and I say, my hands got me these things." You know, maybe they went in and did a little battle and then won those houses, but it was God that gave them the ability to be a victor. And it's the same way with me today. I remember Nebuchadnezzar, when he was warned, here's what can happen to you. God can bring you down if you won't humble yourself on your own. And you remember how 1 year later, he walked out on his porch and he looked over the countryside and he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built with my own hands? I was able to do it." And God really, it was mercy. It was the mercy of God that he brought him down for a while to help him to see, you know what? I have nothing if God doesn't help me. And when he came back up from that, he said, "I want to give some praise to God, because he can take it and he can give it back." And that's the same way with us today, that I would realize, if I don't recognize it, if I don't give him thanks for it, he may continue to give it to me. He will allow the sun to keep coming up every day. He's done it for all the people that are atheists, that say, "I don't even believe there is a God." He continues to give it. But there's something that happens to me. There is something about human nature. If I will always be thankful, realizing that I'm nothing, Jesus told us, without me, you can do nothing. And really, that's the truth. The strength that I'll have to be able to get up in the morning and go to work, will be because he gave it to us. For us to go home safely today will be because he gave it to us. He allowed it. So easily something could change, and I could think, you know what, I was a good driver right there and missed that accident. But you know what, I need to go back to the Lord with thanksgiving, because there are so many things, if he wants to, like he did back there with the ships, and allowed things to happen so that they would have some thanksgiving, he could sure do it in an instant with us. So I want to be thankful. I'd like to go to another verse in Psalms 103. At my work, whenever I hired on, they told me, okay, here's what I'll pay you per hour. But there's also a benefits package. There are some things that you won't see on your check so much. But it's just extras that we give you. And I keep a real close track on those things. They say we give you so many vacation days, we give you so many sick days. It's just a benefit. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord does the same thing with us. Psalms 103 and 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, the things that he gives us. Another verse in Psalm 68 and 19 says, daily he loadeth us with benefits. He gives us things that we can take for granted real easy if we're not careful. We have a song that says, the Lord, he is faithful to bestow on us life and breath, yea, and all things. Now, I can at Thanksgiving Day thank him for the food that he gives us, and that's a good thing to do. This song goes on to say, but chiefly his saving grace and pure righteousness. Oh, what peace, love, and joy it brings. You know, we've moved on into December. We have so much to be thankful for. This month, a reminder. We sing the Christmas songs, a reminder that Jesus came. It's not just Thanksgiving in November. There is something for me to be thankful for all year long. The verse that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. When that happens in my life, I need to have all thanks go back to him. Because if we're not careful, the same thing can happen spiritually that wants to happen temporally, physically. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. I don't have the ability to stay saved another day if he doesn't help me. If I carry on the motions, it still won't have his blessing stamped to it. So I want to always have a thankful attitude, because without him, that song says, without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. To always keep in mind spiritually, it is he that hath made us. It's he that gave me the opportunity to be saved, and I want to always be thankful for it. Psalms 136 and 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Here's something else to be thankful for his mercy endureth forever. I need it more than just the one day when I got saved. I will need it throughout my life at places that I come up short, and his mercy endures forever. There's one more place that I want to go to before we close. It's easy for me to be thankful for the things that God gives me. I try to work on being thankful about those things that I see that he's allowed me to have. What about when adversity strikes? There is a verse that still challenges us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. In everything, give thanks. In everything that comes into your life, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can you do that? If we took a test today, if I took a test of the things that I've been thankful for, I've tried to not ever forget to stop and pray before I eat. Sometimes even if I started eating, I'll stop myself. Wait a minute. You didn't pray before you ate. Stop now and pray. Well, what about for the adversity times? How many of those? Now, I'm holding a thanks ready for him just as soon as he gets me out of it. But to be thankful in it, in everything, give thanks. One of the places that I looked at was Daniel. I believe he had been serving the Lord when he was back in his own country. Through no fault of his own, it was others who had done wrong and caused him to be captured along with his folks around him. But he went into a strange land. He's now a slave. And he still lived right while he's there. But the day comes when others around him have decided, we've got something that we can get Daniel for. The only thing we can see he does is praise to his God. So we're going to go to the king and we're going to tell him for 30 days, let's make a decree that nobody prays to anyone else but you. And that decree was made. Now I was looking at that. Daniel knows what can happen to him. Should he pray again, he faces the lion's den. But I was looking in Daniel 6 and 10, what he said, because you know what? It would be real easy for me to say, I really think probably for this next month, the best thing for me to do, the Lord hears silent prayers as well as he does those that are verbally given. Daniel opened his windows toward Jerusalem to pray. You could really still pray in your closet. We're taught that to pray in your closet, don't pray out in the open. I can find so many things of human reasoning to tell me, let's do it different. But Daniel didn't. It says, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, and it's going to be death for him, says he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber to Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks. Now what would you have to give thanks for when it's been decreed you'll go to the lion's den if you pray to any other god? I just wonder if he didn't have a contact with God to be thankful that he's going to go with me through this. Should he allow me to be put in this place, he'll be there with me. That song that says, what he does not keep you from, he'll take you through. I believe Daniel had a hold of that. And that's why at that time he was able to give thanks. You remember Jesus at the Last Supper when he was letting them know about him dying? It says he took the cup and he gave thanks. Now, how can you give thanks for something that you know is going to cause you such pain and death out ahead? He gave us an example. For me, in the adverse times that come into our lives, we don't have to understand it. I don't have to know everything about it. But I need to have a firm grip on God to know that he'll walk with me through it. And it can allow me to be thankful. I'd like for us to close with a song, number 104. Because really, all of us, I don't think any of us probably have trouble thanking the Lord for the good times that he gives us, when he gives us good things. But when he will walk with us through the storm, this one says, number 104, I'll walk today in the Christian way, though dangers I may see. I will not fear, for the Lord is near, and he will care for me. I think this is what Daniel was able to get a hold to. When he knew the tough times are coming, we're each one going to have them, but we can be thankful even in that time. That second verse says, no test I face, but sufficient grace is ready for my need. When sorrows rise to obscure my skies, he proves a friend indeed. And that is something to be very thankful for. I desire your prayers.